What is intelligence and how should it be measured? Would you consider a 32-year-old man who co-teaches classes at Syracuse University intelligent? How about a 17-year-old whose paintings are on exhibit at major universities in Boston? Or a 24-year-old woman whose charm and personality helped her land her dream job? Are they intelligent? These three young adults all have intellectual disabilities, and filmmaker Dan Habib captures their stories in a documentary called Intelligent Lives. Dan will be in Rochester Wednesday evening for a screening of the film at the Strong Museum of Play, but first, he joins us on Morning Edition. Dan, thanks so much for being here.
So, thanks so much for having me, Beth.
You say all three individuals portrayed in the film would likely have been institutionalized as recently as the 1970s?
Yeah, one of the things we tried to do in the film was give a bit of a sense of the recent history around disability and institutionalization. A lot of people don't know that if you had an intellectual disability, if you had a low IQ or were determined to have that type of disability, it was almost inevitable in the earlier part of the 20th century you would be sent to an institution along with hundreds of thousands of other people. And even more horrifically, perhaps 60,000 people were forcibly sterilized in this country because they had a disability.
One of the stories you tell in the film is the story of Micah Fialka Feldman. He's the young man who works at Syracuse University, just down the thruway from us. He'll be joining you at the screening. Tell me a little bit about his story.
Right. I really wanted to find paradigm shifters, you know, people who could show a completely different way of navigating the world, of showing their intelligence, of showing their ability to contribute in wonderful ways. Mike is a great paradigm shifter. He is taking university classes at Syracuse. He's actually co-teaching classes now at Syracuse. He's got a vibrant circle of friends, a love of social media, very active on Facebook and other platforms, and was given an IQ of 40 when he was a kid. So people hear that and they just can't put it all together. And that's why we were so excited to tell his story in the film.
Yeah, you make this point about the limitations of IQ tests, limitations in terms of their ability to measure varying types of intelligence and the way that they have been used to discriminate against people with disabilities and other groups. How significant of a problem is this still today?
You know, it's a big problem. I mean, IQ tests were never designed for this purpose. They were actually designed to identify kids that needed extra help by Alfred Binet, the French psychologist, back in the late 1800s. But actually, 49 out of 50 states, including New York, still use IQ testing as a way to help assess people who might have an intellectual disability. And that's okay if you use it carefully and it's just one of many tools. But unfortunately, in many regions, it becomes this number that gets affixed to somebody. And I had an experience recently where a family member of mine teaches school in a district in Florida, and she was going to different schools, and she found one school where all the kids with disabilities were completely segregated in special classrooms, you know, without kids without disabilities. And then another school had people integrated with and without disabilities. She asked the principal, what's the difference? And he said, oh, the kids who are segregated had a 55 or lower IQ. The kids who are included had a 56 or above. So that's just one of many stories I've heard about the ways that IQ testing is still dividing and segregating hundreds of thousands of kids.
You mentioned to me some remarkable in a negative way, statistics about students with disabilities in Rochester.
I would venture to say that the most segregated group of Americans are people with intellectual disabilities. So just speaking nationally, if you look at people with intellectual disabilities, 17% of students, only 17% are included in regular education. And then only 40% will graduate from high school, which is a pretty awful number. And then, of course, as they become adults, only 15% will be employed. And in Rochester, I worked with some folks who work with Project Search, and they have done research that shows that only 22% of students with disabilities in Rochester will graduate. And actually, the community of people with disabilities in Rochester is seen as the poorest in the nation compared with 75 other metropolitan areas. So they're doing great work in Rochester to turn the tide, but there are some significant gaps in employment and in educational outcomes.
Dan, what can be done to encourage communities to be inclusive of people of all abilities? What more can we do?
Well, I think, you know, again, I know the folks at the University of Rochester and also Starbridge, is our other host of this event, are working really hard. And a couple of the areas that we're focusing on with this film and our outreach are, first of all, inclusive education. You know, kids with disabilities who are included in regular classrooms alongside their peers have a much higher chance of being successful in terms of post-secondary outcomes for employment, for higher education, for social lives, communication, behavior, across the board. So I think in local schools should be doing everything they can to make sure that kids with disabilities are included alongside their peers. And then I think businesses can play a large role. I mean, any business that has tried to hire more people with disabilities that I've spoken with said, you know, this actually helps our business. Not only does it create a more diverse workplace, but we're finding skill sets that we didn't necessarily think would exist from these individuals that we're hiring. And we're finding that the employees with disabilities that we hire are extremely reliable. They're extremely happy to have the job because the unemployment rate's so high, and their rate of retention is very high, you know, staying with the job. And that's not something you find every day in your employees. And there's a misconception that hiring people with disabilities means you have to incur tremendous costs to, you know, create accommodations. The average cost of accommodations for a worker with a disability is $500 a year. And I think any business would be happy to hire somebody, a really solid employee, and incur that relatively small expense to have a great employee. So I think giving people a chance, you know, we call this whole campaign we're doing the Opening Doors campaign with the film, because we're not asking for special treatment, just equal opportunity in education and in employment and in higher education for people with disabilities.
That's Dan Habib, producer, director of the documentary Intelligent Lives. It'll be shown at a free screening tomorrow night at 6 at the Strong Museum of Play. And Dan and Micah Fialka-Feldman will be taking part in a discussion following the film. And we'll post this interview and information about the screening at WXXINews.org. Dan, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. I look forward to seeing many Rochester folks on Wednesday night.